Okay, Shalom Aboisai. We are in Chavis Halvavis, Shah HaKniya. At the end of Perek Gimel, what have we learned? Chavis Halvavis spent the last Perek describing what are the natural means for a person who's feeling on a high horse to get knocked off that high horse. He gave a lot of natural examples, many of them revolving around a person experiencing his own helplessness and or needing others, etc. Right? But this all led into, this is all leading toward, was he brought this all together in demonstrating to us how it's supposed to lead us to Kniya toward Hashem. Because he went on from there and said that number 8, 9, and 10 of the ways that we get a person off his high horse is when a person internalizes, when a person appreciates all the good he's getting from Hashem, and then thinks of all the areas where he's been spiting Hashem, and that just humbles him. This is the most ideal dynamic of tshuva. And it's tshuva that is not coming from a fear or anything like that, but rather from a place of, how could I be doing this to Hashem who is showering me with good? And this was kind of parallel to what he said, that sometimes one of the forms of humility is when a person owes somebody something else and he has no way of paying. So as he often does, he's trying to build off natural experiences. Chavis HaLevavos does that a lot throughout the Sefer. He wants you to sense natural experiences that you have in your dynamics with other people, and then build off them, apply them to your relationship with Hashem. So if you can, just a second, if you can appreciate that sense of feeling like bound to somebody else, but at the same time, the realization you can't really pay them back, he's adding, take that and apply that to Hashem, compounded with a sense of, how could I be spiting him? That should lead a person to tshuva. But Mandy,
I'm just going to say, there's another way, and that is when a person is lonely, for example, or he's been shunned by people, if he gets to the level where he feels, I want to be part, I really miss them, I want. That's the feeling I would think that would bring you to the highest level of wanting to be with Hashem.
Alas Hashem, I hear. That's certainly true also. Yep. I don't know which is the highest. How to say which is the highest level, because one is a desire of closeness to Hashem. The other is a sense of really more directed toward the Avera of, how could I be doing this? Maybe tshuva, maybe the reason he's putting this down here. But you know what? I don't know if we need to commit what he's saying to the highest level. It's definitely one of the chashuva dynamics of tshuva. Okay. Number 9 was when he senses that Hashem is actually punishing him. When Hashem is bringing tzaras on him, we said earlier that when tzaras come on a person, chalila, and that makes him needy, that makes him humble. A more refined level is, even if it doesn't make him needy, he's still capable of functioning, but undergoing tzaras already makes a person sense his own helplessness and vulnerability, and that itself makes him humble. Taking that to the next level is when the person actually senses that this is Hashem doing this to me because of certain things that might be wrong with me. So that is where you take those natural feelings of Kniya and you move them into your relationship with Hashem. And then number 10 was, he said, when a person actually senses death approaching. He really doesn't just push off the thought, doesn't just suppress it, but faces it head on. And as on the contrary, I'm fortunate to be thinking about this now. I'm still here to picture the Yom HaDin and to humble himself in that way. And if you think about it, we spent Elul learning Rabbeinu Yoina, where he discussed a number of the means of arousal toward tshuva. This parallels quite a number of them. he talked about five or six such means, and these are mamish parallel, three of them. Okay, fine. So now we move on. Now here we're getting more into the what we'll call the into the kishkas of the subject of the inyan of kinyan. Where do we apply kniya in practice? Where does it? Where should it be expressed practically? Where are you supposed to act with kniya? Oima. So I'll say kia kniya chayav adam lisnag ba b'shiva inyan. There are mainly seven areas that demand a conduct of kniya, of submissiveness, of humbling yourself. Echod. When you are dealing with your peers, and in conducting yourself pleasantly with the people around you, as we will discuss later, meaning your whole approach to other people is with a certain humble, unassuming approach. Now, why is this a part of the kniya? Why are we sticking into the sugya of kniya, which is primarily kniya toward Hashem? We're going to let him develop that later. Okay, we'll see that later. Why acting humbly toward people is part of humbling yourself before Hashem. Let me discuss at length. Hashem, number two is if you encounter chachamim, v'chasidim akrovim el elikim, or very pious people, when you encounter such people, so you want to be showing, you want to be acting as a non-equal. This we already understand is it's appropriate in and of itself, but this is already kniya toward Hashem because I'm showing that in my value system, he's in a higher place than I am, and therefore I'm lowering my head. This is actually a way of showing kniya to Hashem, right? K'may shenema. That's one of the most very fundamental reasons of the gravity of the issue of kavod ha-Torah, of kavod for chachamim. You have to show kavod for chachamim. The idea is not they deserve it, and therefore you have to show them that kavod. The idea is that is Klal Yisrael in its proper place, where the Chachamim are on a pedestal, where the Chachamim are held on high. So that's number two. A person acts humbly in the presence of Chachamim. I heard it said, I haven't witnessed this, but I heard it said that Avigdor Miller never spoke in the presence of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Didn't say a word. He was in the presence of Rav Moshe Feinstein, just didn't speak. I was never zeicher to see Rav Moshe. Thus, I was certainly never zeicher to see the two of them together. But that's what I heard said by my grandfather, I believe. Okay. I'm going to go even further. He said the way Reb Baruch Ber would act, Reb Baruch Ber was like the quintessential Talmud, Reb Baruch Ber, of his Rebbe, Reb Chaim Brisker. He said, Reb Chaim Brisker would come to his, he already became Rosh Yeshiva when his Rebbe, Reb Chaim Brisker, was still alive. And Reb Chaim Brisker would come visit his yeshiva, Reb Baruch Ber would mamish get down on the floor and roll around on the ground in front of him to be the kind of mission that says that in this Avik Bafaragleim, you should get yourself dusty in the dust of their feet, literally. Okay. Wouldn't give a shit because the Elim and Machin was there. Oh, there you go. There you go. Yep. Ashlishi. Number three. Where does kniya come into play practically? Let's remember, kniya really is an all-encompassing feeling, feeling humbled in the presence of Hashem. But he's telling us where it's going to express itself, right? Shishabchu b'midoisav ha-toivos. If a person is praised for his virtues, chayev lihi kona, that should cause him to feel humble. Why? Because again, it's like we said, think of the mashal that we discussed. Think of the mashal that we discussed. I'll give a bit of a different mashal. Okay, a mundane mashal. Let's say you have the best kid in the class at basketball. Best kid in the class at basketball. Okay, and then one day, an NBA all-star shows up in school. Okay, it's at the end of the day. Nobody else is there except this kid. Kid challenges him to a game. So it's this kid, best kid in the class. He's good, 14 years old, against an NBA superstar. Creamed, right? It's like the game doesn't begin, right? Creamed. Okay. The next day, this NBA superstar was, why is he in the school b'chlal? He was sent back to repeat fourth grade. He's not, right? That's, so, you know, he's sitting down in the class, and other kids start saying to this NBA superstar, oh, did you meet Chaimke? Chaimke is really good. Now, Chaimke is sitting there, okay? Chaimke is sitting there, and they start telling this NBA superstar, oh, did you see Chaimke? Did you see his rebound? Did you see his... you know, his shots. Chaimke is sitting there. What's Chaimke going to feel? He's going to want to disappear, right? He just played against this guy yesterday. He's going to want to disappear. So that's a very mundane mashal. That's a very mundane mashal. But this is what he's saying. A person feels uncomfortable when he hears himself praised. Why? Not just because, oh boy, I better show my anova right now. No, Chas v'Shalom, I never did anything good in my life. No, that's not what we're talking about, right? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that sense. He's being told about virtues that he has, but Hashem is here listening. And he's quite aware of all of his shortcomings that Baruch Hashem, everybody here doesn't know, right? So that is, for a person who's keenly aware of that presence, here we come back to what we said before, that it's a dynamic in the relationship with Hashem. When a person is keenly aware of the presence, then he feels mortified to hear his virtues being stressed because of all the things that he knows about himself, because of all the other things that he knows about himself, right? So, when a person's virtues are praised, he should feel humbled. He should think to himself about his different averis, asher abayla yoidam, mikisa oisam, that Hashem knows, but has been kind enough to conceal, right? Vehevichloi kadesh yashuv mehem. And Hashem is giving him time to do tshuva. So him with Hashem, that's what he is feeling right now. Bal yismach betoz b'nei adam boy. Don't get so excited about the fact that all these other people are misassessing you. Achyeval, because again, whose presence are you more conscious of? The people who are busy putting you on a pedestal, or Hashem, who's very aware of what's really going on? So again, he feels that mortification, instead of being all excited, Achyeval bavur shabiris ali yedea be'emes v'yam alolam. He feels mortified because of Hashem's keen awareness of his faults, and his inadequacy at living up to what he really should be doing for Hashem. And therefore, he feels humbled inside.
How does this couple with person self-esteem and
how do we put the two together? So it's not easy, but they do come together. How does that work? A person has to appreciate his self-worth, his value as a yid, his achievements as a yid, in order to know the direction he's headed in. Right? In order to know the direction he's headed in. He should know also that Hashem very much values his efforts. But at the same time, to be keenly aware of where my faults are. Now, as long as it's just me and Hashem, note that he didn't say that you have to be embarrassed then, because again, I'm in a relationship with Hashem. And I very much feel like the little kid who's being accommodated by the great pedagogue, right, by Hashem. And I don't have to all the time be awed with shame at my faults, because I'm working toward them and Hashem is accommodating me. He's kind enough to accommodate me. But I'm very keenly aware of, but I have to remain conscious of that. I do have to remain conscious of that. As soon as I start feeling good about, hey, it's true, what all these guys are saying are right, that's a stira to understanding the dynamic with Hashem. You know what? This should be spoken out better. But we'll Bli Neder, tomorrow's Wednesday. Bli Neder, we'll pick up from this point on Thursday. Bli Neder.
Okay. That was a good question.